For a time in the 1930s, a scrappy racehorse named Seabiscuit was America's biggest celebrity, ahead of FDR and Clark Gable. 2 years ago, Laura Hillenbrand captured the public's imagination all over again with her best-selling book, Seabiscuit. The new movie, with the same name, is directed by Gary Ross, who wrote Big and Dave and directed Pleasantville. It stars Tobey Maguire, Jeff Bridges, and Chris Cooper. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
A lot of people have been chomping at the bit for the movie of Seabiscuit. Like me, they were thrilled to pieces by Laura Hillenbrand's bestseller about the most celebrated racehorse who ever lived. With its layers of detail that put you deep inside the action, the book had an easy canter that finally became a joyride. It told the story of three disparate and traumatized men who in the 1930s found a common obsession in a horse no one wanted, a small, misshapen animal with a lazy disposition and an unruly temper. With his ferocious drive and his relish for not just winning, but coming from behind in high theatrical style, that horse would also become the obsession of a traumatized nation. The movie, directed and written by Gary Ross, is winning rhapsodic reviews. It looks beautiful. The dirt flies up in lyrical slow motion, and the white light transfigures the jockeys. Randy Newman's music is yearning and plangent. The chords descend, yet the notes reach out for something. My bet is the ineffable. There might as well be a sign under every radiant image that says, "Wasn't that a time?" The camera plunges you into the middle of the races so that even when you can't tell what's happening, you're turned on by the speed and the streaking horse bodies and the thunderous soundtrack. I don't mean to look a gift horse in the mouth. Seabiscuit has some stirring sequences, fine performances, and not incidentally, many excellent hats. But consider the introduction of Chris Cooper as Seabiscuit's ornery trainer, Smith. While the music sighs plaintively, he surveys the prairie, once filled with horses and now defaced by automobiles and chain-link fences. If you think this vision of 19th-century America sadly contemplating the end of the frontier is flat-footed and pseudo-poetic, where Hillenbrand had been precise and evocative, you'll groan the way I did. Or you might be honestly moved. That's what makes horse races. Cooper is playing a man described by Hillenbrand as so taciturn he might be in the early stages of invisibility, and as written and performed, he certainly does recede. But then everything but the races is more pictorial than dramatic. The scene you're going to hear is as intimate as the movie gets. Tobey Maguire is the jockey Red Pollard, who has angered Smith by whacking back at riders who fouled him. Jeff Bridges plays Seabiscuit's owner, a multimillionaire Buick dealer who celebrated the death of the horse before losing a son in an auto accident.
Inside, Silver Treasure, Pirates Go! But at the wire, it's Silver Treasure, the winner by 2.5 lengths.
What the hell were you thinking?
He fouled me. What am I supposed to do? Let him get away with that?
Well, yeah, when he's 40-1.
He almost put me in the rail.
Well, did he? Look, we had a plan.
He fouled me, Tom! What am I supposed to do? He cut me off! He fouled me!
Son. What are you so mad at?
Bridges played a cockeyed optimist car magnate in Tucker, and this performance is an older, deeper version, with notes of melancholy that anchor the movie. But the eye-opening turn is by Maguire. True, he's not the first actor to leap to mind as a wiry, hot-headed jockey. But once I got past the absence of the actor's most distinctive trait, that slightly morbid shyness, I began to see how impressive he was. Maguire has dieted himself down to bone and sinew so that his eyes pop out, shining and hungry. There is, however, a major absent character, Seabiscuit. I have a friend, a horse nut, who felt let down by the book because he wanted to read about a horse and not people. He might as well skip the movie, in which Seabiscuit is played by 10 different anonymous animals. Once in a while, there's a close-up of his eye to show you, I guess, that he's not blind. But the charged relationship among horse, trainer, and jockey is alluded to by a narrator without really being dramatized. In The Black Stallion, the director Carol Ballard proved you could photograph a horse to make every ripple of his physique seem expressive without ever anthropomorphizing him. But But you look at Seabiscuit and think, oh, a horse. The movie does catch you up in the climactic race, and it has a final shot I won't spoil that suspends the action at just the right mythic instant. But the best thing about Seabiscuit is that it will make a lot of people hungry to read the book. They've seen the pretty pictures. Now they'll want to enter the world.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Phyllis Myers, Amy Sallet, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, and Anne-Marie Baldonado, with Patty Leswing, Jessica Chu, and Ian Chillock. Our engineer is Julian Herzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.